it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rusty Manziel, co-owner and publisher of Dogs HQ and co-host on The Steakhouse. And our conversation with Rusty is brought to you by Orchard, the smarter, faster, hassle-free way to buy and sell your home. I know I gave you all those credentials behind your name, Rusty, but you're also the dad of one of my new friends.
Yeah, how about that?
Miss Molly Manziel?
Yeah, she...
Still the craziest story I've heard.
That is wild.
Time.
She's like, yeah, I'm going to Aruba. You know, they got engaged 2 weeks ago, and she's like, so excited. We're going to Aruba, like, Wednesday. And then Jimmy, her fiancé, told me the story, said, hey, you know, I'm choosing not to play golf. I'm going to do the right stuff here and hang out with her. I said, that's a good decision. Pick your battles. So
yep.
Pick your battles.
That a boy.
And he goes, we're doing this ATV, like, dune buggy tour.
Yep.
And then you post a story, and you're like in Aruba, and I was like, well, damn, Molly's there.
What are the odds of that, man?
I know. And I thought, there's
and you're in the same group.
We're in the same group. I thought, there's no way this is his daughter. Like, I'm in Aruba. And there's like, no, this is a tiny island. That might be her.
It's nuts. That's
yeah. Crazy.
How many people were in the group?
Probably about 40. And I got all my snorkeling gear on, and Molly's behind me. I was like, I know your dad. I also know that you were getting engaged before you did.
Have you come to terms with the fact this guy's a Bama fan?
He was a Bama fan.
I don't, like, see, this is, like you said this a minute ago, I don't believe this. You're telling me you've already.
I didn't. Molly did.
Converted this man to being a Georgia
fan. This man made a business decision early on.
Business decision's a good word for it.
I will say that... this man made a business decision of his own. You know what I mean? And, you know.
Business decisions are not usually solo ventures, okay?
I don't know that, I don't know that he would have had much choice with my daughters.
Right.
And that particular school in particular. Yeah. I would have loved him either way, and I really like him, and I'm excited that, you know, he's going to be my son-in-law, and couldn't be happier. But Molly has done the Lord's work. And this man is, they sent me a picture in the Georgia-Alabama game. This man was in a Georgia hoodie.
No!
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
I don't know this gentleman, but I've lost respect for him.
this is ridiculous.
You know, I will say that I did talk to his dad, and his dad said, look, we moved down here, I think from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, early on. And he goes, we got here, and we realized that, damn, you got to have a team here. And he said he was a youth football coach up in Mill Creek. And he said that he was the whole time, he just kind of respected the way Nick Saban ran the program, how he was. And he goes, I mean, go on a limb, dude. Y'all picked Alabama in like 2010. You know what I mean?
Right in the middle of three national title runs.
Come on there now.
Yeah, I see the family. Hey, this college football thing's easy. All we do is win.
Yeah, that's pretty good. This is simple. Are they going to the game this weekend?
They are not. My daughter has enough Manziel in her that she probably needs to be at home watching the game. She's not really.
Wow.
She's into it.
A little passion.
She has got some Floyd County in her when it comes to football. Don't let the 6 foot model, all the pictures, and congratulations to her. She's in a new Prime movie, a Tyler Perry movie that came out yesterday.
There you go. What's the name of it?
I don't even know yet.
Oh, I didn't mean to put you on the spot then. I thought that was going to be a home run.
I'm
trying to help her out.
I don't know.
You should have just said Medea does something.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but she went down. She did the modeling thing for a while, and, you know, she really went back and forth of that, and I said, look, go to New York, because if you don't go, you're going to regret this the rest of your life.
Of course.
So I sent her up there. She went up there for about 10, 12 weeks, did a lot. Came home, did a lot, and she's like, you know what? I gave it a shot, I tried, and you know, I just said, look, you'll never regret not knowing.
I don't think so either.
She did it.
I don't mind it at all. It's a good call by her,
and rightfully so by you, because she is absolutely stunning.
Let me tell you something. God has a great sense of humor.
He said,
you know what, Rusty? You need a 6 footer.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Manziel. This is what you need in your life for the rest of your. Get you one of these.
I will say, your new son-in-law sounds like he's a good recruiter too.
Yeah, so there you go, recruiting expert. Listen, I'll save some of it for the toast, but I've heard some good things behind for it.
Congrats, man. Yeah, man, it's good stuff.
Rusty, I know it's Thursday and we're looking ahead, but I got to ask your opinion. Was it a clap or a timeout?
Oh, wow.
The look on this man's face.
What did Kirby say?
The look on this man's face.
Okay, your eyes don't deceive you, my friend.
Here's what I will say.
How about you do this?
I got 2.9 million views on that post. I mean, 2.9. Some Instagram story took it from me, which is fine. They credited me. It got like 5 million. So altogether, that thing got like 6 million views on that particular play. The Auburn DB was clapping.
He was.
Okay.
There's no doubt.
Kirby ran toward the referee pretty quickly. I felt like it may have called timeout.
Well, hold on. You know what? Let's ask you real quick. How would you call timeout on the sideline, Rusty?
Yeah,
how do you do it? Do you do it with a clap?
I don't know, man. I think he put in a situation. Here's what I will say.
I did like your video about the touchdown, though. Like, you went in on that.
I mean, dude, it is what it is. I'm you know what I mean? But here's what I will tell you. If Kirby called a timeout or he did not call a timeout, the next play, they got one of the worst calls in the history of organized football.
Yeah.
On a blindside block when you hit the guy square.
That was terrible.
Okay, and that's a terrible makeup call. Okay, the next two plays later, you miss a field goal. So if he called timeout or not, it had nothing to do with any – there was no result. There was nothing. Auburn got the ball back.
Yeah.
Handle the situation.
You'll appreciate this because I kind of went in on Hugh Freeze on Monday. I was like, the whole halftime interview. And, of course, I get a couple tweets that are like, you're a Bama guy. Yeah. You know who went in even worse than me? Cole Kublik. Yeah. I was like, there you go. There's your Auburn guy right there. Still the same way.
I said Hugh Freeze at halftime looked like me when I go on my boys' trip for golf every year and they make me play another 18 at 4 o'clock. I'm like, dude, I'm done. I can't do it. You know how exhausted he looked? When they come to me and go, Mansell, we're not going to the pool.
Yeah.
We're going to play another 18.
We're going back to the first tee. It's like, no, please, no.
He looked awful.
Oh, man, he did.
You know when you walk in like that at halftime, I don't know what was said, but I'm telling you, that had to be not the best moment for them.
No.
You see your coach whatever happened there. The reality is Georgia got a touchdown taken away from them.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think both sides could argue they got a touchdown taken because no one
They didn't signal a touchdown.
No, they didn't.
And there was no point where they ever said touchdown.
Well, the problem is if they had signaled touchdown,
yeah,
it would
they wouldn't have overturned.
And that's the thing for me is anybody that says definitively it was one thing or another, is just saying that out of fandom because I can tell you right now I don't know.
Me neither.
But the only thing I do know is that whatever was called on the field is what it was going to be the final result.
I agree. Yeah,
and I want you to talk about I saw your video at your pod and you were talking about getting the Kirby telling him to punch the ball out.
Punch the ball in the timeout.
Dude, that is so good.
So
man.
I talked to somebody Sunday night that I would say I trust. And during the timeout on the review, the play before where Jackson Arnold was short, okay, it was a good review there.
Right.
Kirby pulls Raylan Wilson and C.J. Allen aside and said he's going to stick the out.
Yes.
You punch it, and he looks at Raylan and says, your gap, right-hand punch it. You don't realize the detail in that because you think about it. If you go look, when he leans in that B gap, that's Raylan Wilson, and this kid punches the ball. Instinctively, you're going, as a linebacker, you're going to strike him with your shoulder.
Right. Yeah.
Both of those kids did exactly what Kirby Smart told them to do. Both of them are punching the ball, but in particular, the detail of what I heard, he told Raylan Wilson, B gap, you strike it with your right hand.
That's so good, man. Yeah, and that's the details.
It would never cross my mind.
That's what makes you a legendary coach.
That would never cross my mind. And you would never hear that unless somebody didn't tell me, like, dude, I'm on a headset. And that's exactly what the guy told him during the timeout.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess Kirby still has passion, unlike the message boards say.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
You said playing two-a-days in golf. Sounds like Billy Napier might be headed that way.
Man, what's crazy to me is they're basically saying, it don't matter if you win this weekend or not, dude, you're out for the bye. I mean, he's 2-4. when you start having meetings with the big-time boosters, you're rallying the troops and going, okay, this is what it's going to take. It is what it is, man.
But yeah. See, Rusty, for me, like I'm not a fire the coach guy. I think it's ridiculous, but at times, but he hurt his players last weekend. I watched that A&M game. He left Austin Barber on an island.
He was not telling players to punch the ball out.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
There's no detail. They're dinking and dunking. They're dinking and dunking when they should be forcing the ball downfield, and then they're forcing the ball downfield when you're singling up your tackle who's been beat the entire night, and then you finally do it with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like, I'm at the point where I feel like Napier is just –
It's not working.
He's not coaching in-game anymore. He's just calling plays.
It's not working. And I'll say this about the job openings. All this is a result of Texas A&M. Texas A&M paid the absolute most ludicrous buyout, $75 million you could ever think of, and they're already rallied back and they already got a contender.
There you go.
Everybody else is going.
It's a different era, man.
You got to pay and you got to regroup.
Yeah.
And you got to, because you can turn a team, you can flip a team so quick now. So you look at Penn State and $50 million. They looked at Texas A&M and said they paid $75 million, and they're right back in the top 10.
Yeah.
We don't have time to wait. I think that's a situation that's going to wind up getting Florida.
Real quick before we let you go, if you'll look to my right, I've got the whiteboard out. We were buying and selling stock on Heisman quarterbacks.
Yep.
That's Bo the Broker. I'm Mutual Fund Mike. If you want to be Ratio Rusty, something like that. Oof. We'll come up with our own name. We're not going to hit all these, but I do want to. We disagreed on Trinidad Chambliss going into this weekend.
Yep.
I'm selling. I just don't think many people are going to have their Heisman moment between the hedges. Bo, and he brought up a couple good points. He's really good in the way he's able to operate in Lane Kiffin's offense.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that matchup between Chambliss and Georgia's defense this weekend?
You're going to find out a lot about him because he's never played in this setting.
Yeah.
He's never been on the road. He's never played in front of 92,000 on the road. He has been fantastic for the most part. He's played LSU at home. The Arkansas game, they had to outscore him at the end.
Yep.
He's done that. The Kentucky game, you know, having to come in there in the shaky spot. He hasn't been in this setting. This is a big test for him. I don't know that he's not a world beater, but we're going to find out a lot about him Saturday because this is going to be in an environment that he's never been in.
Yeah.
He's never stepped foot in this. Gunnar Stockton had to do it to start in Knoxville,
yep,
and he answered the bell. And he did it again Saturday night at Auburn. We're going to find out about Chambliss Saturday. And again, he might be that guy, but nobody really knows how he's going to play in this spot.
Now, just realized I bought stock in both of those guys. That's probably not a smart decision. I bought Gunnar Stockton and Trinidad Chambliss.
You're criticizing me.
I will say this.
Rusty sounds like he's holding on Chambliss.
I'm holding right now. This is a big tip. I will say this, that I don't know there's a player in America playing better than Ty Simpson right now. The guy will stand in the pocket. The guy's incredibly poised. He's sneaky athletic. He threw a ball. That touchdown he threw in Missouri in the back of the end zone.
Straight bullet, man.
Now you've got me down this road. I gotta ask you one real quick follow-up. Does that say more about Jalen Milroe not being able to develop and become this guy under DeBoer, or does it say more about Grubb being back there with DeBoer?
I would probably say a little bit of both, and I would say that Ty Simpson has a different skill set than Jalen Milroe.
I agree, but I thought the most disappointing thing, I think Jalen Milroe got better in his last year under Saban. I actually thought he took a step backwards late in the year under DeBoer, and I don't know what it was, and because I always thought intermediate passing is what he was starting to improve on, and then it looks like he just forgot how to do it last year late.
I think Ty Simpson's a fourth-year kid. He's incredibly accurate. He's gotten a lot of confidence. I looked at a mock draft yesterday, and I had him number two. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that somebody's going to pass on him.
He's athletic, too.
He can move. He's smart. Coach's kid.
I never thought we'd get to this point in the year and he'd be begging him to stay at school.
He's not staying. I can tell you that right now.
I know, dude. I know.
It's unfortunate. You know, it's crazy because you wait your turn, and you're like, this guy did it the right way.
Yeah.
And you're going to get one out of him.
That stinks, man.
It is what it is.
That's what they're doing at Georgia.
They tried.
You're getting two out of them, though. You're getting 2 years.
Carson Beck should have left in 23. He'd been a first rounder.
Yeah.
Now he's going to.
He's got a lot of insurance payouts for those Lambos he's got stolen in Miami.
Well, we'll see what happens Saturday. Rusty, thanks as always for coming in. Appreciate your time as always. That's Rusty Mansell, co-owner of Dogs HQ and publisher as well. Catch him on the Steakhouse right after us at 9 a.m. today. And coming up, we're going to get back to some Falcons talk, that 49ers offense. What do we need to know about him? That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.